say you're being victimized or extorted by this prisoner, please contact customer service at 855-466.
All subject matter in the preceding podcast is entirely alleged and not admissible in a court of law. A recklessly minimal effort has been taken to change the names and details of any guilty parties. And just in case you rat bastards get any ideas, the hosts of this podcast are notorious and well-documented liars with no legally admissible credibility. This is Mama C, and you're listening to Notes from the Pen podcast. Welcome to prison, bitch.
And that is the swiftest I have gotten this thing to record in the brief history of the Bobby Caldwell Notes from the Pen podcast.
Beaming with pride. Beaming with pride, Douglas.
Yes,
you are proof that an old comic can definitely learn new tricks.
Well, we also, we're for the first time recording before noon. So, yeah, this is where my brain is at its most fresh.
Me as well. I kind of said that I learned that later in the day, you know, as the day progresses, you become appropriately reminded or jaded, reminded by life that things aren't so great, no matter how you wake up. And by the time I get on, it's, you know, I'm 3 hours ahead, so it's like 7, 8 o'clock here, and I'm just brain not exactly on point.
Yeah, I think what happens is during the day, I wake up and I have good ideas, it's a motivation, and I cook a hearty breakfast, and then I do things like check Twitter or look at the news, and that's where it just starts to all unravel.
Yeah, mine
is
just
my email and all the shit I'm supposed to be doing that I don't want to do, that I don't need to do, all that. Yeah, it's dispiriting.
Yeah. So this is a new experiment, and already it's going great because record time to get the tape a call, cleverly named tape a call, working. So here we are.
And, yeah, now we can just completely solve the entire prison system before I have to go play tennis.
Yeah, a 15-minute call to solve all societal ills concerning criminal justice reform, which is, I really wanted to, it's just so stupid that it didn't just click. It's like something I had to realize, and it's ridiculous that I had to realize it, that we kind of obviously originally bonded over a similar I think it's part personality-wise, like our inherent need to call out bullshit or stuff we see as ridiculous, and the fact I'm in prison kind of coincided with one of your desires to call that type of stuff out. But me and you have never really like fully delved into that, ironically. Early on, you were like, I want to change it. I even want to do bits about it, but it usually just comes off as me ranting, right, about the...
Yeah, I've never had a strong prison bit, but... It's so frustrating because I don't have alternatives. I don't even have funny alternatives.
Yeah. I'm working on some of that. Obviously, a lot of the stuff I've been writing has to do with this whole thing. But I figured, why aren't we... This just seems like such a natural avenue. Originally, when I started doing the show, it served a lot of purposes, right? But one of the things as far as prison reform wasn't like ramming shit down people's throat as far as prison reform. It was trying to create a scenario where more people felt like they knew someone in prison. So like kind of dehumanize us a little bit. And there were people that would write in and say, I thought all inmates were pieces of shit until I started listening. And, you know, so I figure now it would be cool to do 15-minute little bursts where we don't fully take on or attempt to solve an issue, but you know, but start focusing more on just talking about something.
You know, I was thinking that I think all prison should be live online, be viewed, like the whole what's his name, Jeffrey Epstein shit. Oh, we lost the security camera footage from that, you know, 15 minutes where he killed himself. Like all the prison abuses, you know how many geeks would just sit and, you know, stare at, you know, whatever prison live online all night in their fucking bored apartment.
I often said that if I could have one of, this is back when I first came down, they were doing those Google glasses where you could record thing on. I said if that was in here, I'd have the most highly rated reality show ever. You know what I mean? Because there's ridiculous shit, and that's kind of the intrigue of the podcast and stuff, is getting my perspective, someone who can talk, has a little bit of ability in conversing and talking and describing shit, getting like a real take on all that stuff. But you're absolutely right. They tore my cell apart, pulled me out while I was brushing my teeth 2 weeks ago in the morning, and had me sit in a little isolation hole to talk to one of the higher-ups because they thought I had a cell phone in here. Because there was a picture in one of the cells from the museum they used to have on my website. And the reason they're so worried about that is because they could document every little thing that, you know, wasn't up to par. And so that's a...
You can't request body cam footage of, you know, prisoner abuse.
Yeah, there's nothing. Yeah, there's security camera that a lot of times happens to get conveniently lost, like you're saying. I've seen stuff like that happen. But recently...
I like the idea that, you know, how cops have to, you know, get tased so they know what it's like.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, that's...
I think people should have to spend time in solitary confinement before they can, you know,
I once read an article where this warden who had ended up getting rid of solitary confinement except in the most extreme cases and they really changed what it was. And the warden had to spend one night in solitary confinement and was like, holy shit. Like, he came out the next day and was like, oh my God, this is torture. And he went about changing it. I was, stuff slowly been changing with that. Only certain joints have really long-term laydowns, as they say. And I was at one a while. And, you know, you see people go. I knew a guy who did 12 years in the hole. His name's Manning. He's doing a life sentence for a charge he caught when he was 17, a group of friends. Someone shot a guy, and he was with them and doing a life sentence. He spent 12 years in the hole. And you can tell there's some long-lasting effects.
I don't know why Scandinavian prisons are, you know, work so well. I mean, I see why they work so well, but is it because, you know, they're just better people?
That's quite possible. There's obviously, they don't have as many people. There's not, don't they all look the same pretty much there?
Well, that's
I don't know. I never been there. It just seems like there might not be as many easily accessible tribalistic traits. Like, you know, things that differentiate people so much, and they're a smaller group. I think that's one of the toughest parts about the scenario. Because listen, there are things, and you've been quick to point this out, there are things that there are services or a necessity for a form of policing and a form of separating people from society who can't be in society lest they rape or kill people. You know, there's a reason for it. I don't want to discredit the whole thing by being like, there should be nothing. Everyone should just be free to do whatever, because being in here, you see like, oh, no, I wouldn't want this guy to be around my kid or my girlfriend or any of that stuff. But the solutions are actually the harder things to hone in on. And that's why I wanted to bring up the show I've been watching on PBS. It's been coming on Tuesdays. It's called Philly. You might know about this guy. It's called Philly DA. And this dude, you ever heard?
I haven't heard of it.
Larry Krasner. And he's like, he's been a civil rights attorney for like 35 years. And I mean, as liberal as you can get, like suing the cops, Preston, you know, just representing defendants who have been wrongly. And he ended up getting elected in a landslide victory to Philadelphia district attorney. And everyone was freaked out. And he went in there to like clean house and just started shit-canned a bunch of people who were on bullshit. Immediately was like, well, look, we're not prosecuting sex workers, SAMs, which I guess stands for small amounts of marijuana, nonviolent. Like, he just went and tried to flip the whole thing upside down and be like, we're going to use logical common sense approaches. We're going to bring criminologists in and study what works and what doesn't, get rid of cash bail. He just started trying to have some common sense to criminal justice as the district attorney. And immediately the pushback from the judges and the police unions and even the prosecutors in the DA's office was, it's a really good show, but it brings up, people ask me all the time, like, what can I do to help? I know it's screwed up, and I think all of us feel that. Like, yeah, but what do you do? And I've been telling people lately, yeah, great, the presidential thing, whatever. Everyone wants to come out and vote for the presidential election, but the local elections are where change can actually happen. Hey, Joe, you guys did a little version of that, didn't you? Or were part of it?
Part of what?
Was there someone there that ran locally for something?
Not seriously. Well, our friend just got elected to the Superior Court judge.
Yes.
Ran as a Republican because that's the only way you can win, but he isn't.
Guerrilla politicking, right? Guerrilla legislation. But that's a real thing. It's like if you could just – everyone knows the president – candidate they hate or that they like, but none of them can tell you who their district attorney is or who their judges that are elected in their local municipality.
City council. It's very important. People fucking treat politics like sports, and everyone wants to bet on the Super Bowl, but preseason, they don't know who's in the draft.
Right. And so what does that mean? So that means locally – there's a good thing and a bad thing about that. The bad thing is no one really votes. The good thing is not too many people vote. So if you did, it wouldn't take a monumental change to start electing other people. Most people, most judges and district attorneys run unopposed. If you could
they vote for the big game, and then they just click off all the R's or D's on the ballot, and they have no idea who those people are. They're just Republican or Democrat.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, they're just checking stuff off based on that, which is why you guys, whoever the guy was that ran for Superior Court Judge, was able to hack into that system kind of go, I'm a Republican, you know what I mean? And then during the primary, what I'm saying is that's an actual real-life possible way to institute some change if there was, like, grassroots movements with stuff that actually could affect people.
Well, the main thing that I've always preached is take jury duty.
Yes.
Everyone tries to get out of jury duty, but it only takes 1 out of 12 people to say, no, not guilty, when it's some bullshit, drug charge,
Yes.
The other problem, in the morning my head's clear, but my vocabulary is nowhere near my head.
That's all right. You jump start, I finish it off because I've been up 3 hours longer.
Victimless crime.
Than you.
That's what I was looking for. Victimless crime. you just say not guilty, and it's done. It's called jury nullification. People want to look it up.
Yes. I was just going to tell you that the viewers out there, the Pebbles, they know who Blaze is. My Shaley. He's I say pebble in the shoe of the criminal industrial prison industrial complex. He is a thorn in the side of it. Sues them. He has case law named after him, and he handed me some stuff, some pamphlets that they tried to reject on jury nullification and about how the strategic attempt at using the jury system to go, well, this is bullshit. I don't even think this should be tax dollars should even be spent on this. Not guilty. In the worst case scenario, hung jury. And very interesting. That's that's guerrilla citizen.
I know people that have been. I don't know them personally, but I know of people who've been arrested for handing out those pamphlets in front of courthouses for jury tampering. That's standing in front of the courthouse. That's kind of pretty brazen.
Yeah.
But putting people's minds.
Yeah, no, I'd never even heard about that.
You have 1 minute remaining.
Oh, this is a thing? So, so go out and get involved with some local stuff. Listen to this show. There's a bunch of organizations that do cash bail and stuff and help people out that can't get out. Vocabulary of the day. To spin someone, the verb to spin, is to placate someone by telling them anything they want to hear in order not to deal with them anymore. That's used all the time. And it has to do with the administration. And
give me an example. Give me an example of one time you've had to spin someone.
Oh, daily. Hey, do you got an extra soup in there? They're shaking down my cell right now. I can't get in there. just spin move. And I'm realizing it's a sports. Standing in line, I was like, oh, it's probably from a spin move, football. You avoid someone. Or basketball. All right, Douglas.
All right, I think we solved a lot.
Thank you for using GTL.